Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
There's a purpose behind why God did what he did, and it's more than simply getting sinners out of hell into heaven. That's part of the gospel. That's a benefit of the gospel. But God has a design or a blueprint for the gospel that helps us understand what he wants us to be, not only when we get to heaven, but what we need to be in this life.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? To non-believers, this phrase may sound like a confusing adage, and among believers, it sometimes takes on different meanings. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff clears up the confusion about surrendering to Christ. We'll see how understanding the gospel blueprint can help us understand our life's purpose as we continue our series, Christians in Crisis. And a quick reminder, if you miss any of these daily messages or would like to revisit other parts of our study, you can do that anytime at bravemedia.online. Now, let's join Pastor Jeff as he begins today's message titled, Gospel Blueprint, by reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4.
And coming to him, as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious stone, then, is for those of you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And in these few verses, what Peter is spelling out for us is God's blueprint, his design for the gospel. What do we need to know about God's blueprint? Because if we see his blueprint, if we get the picture for what he's trying to build, then we'll know how we fit in. And the gospel blueprint tells us this, that the gospel connects believers together for God's purpose. That the gospel connects believers together for God's purpose. Notice what he says. He says, and coming to him as like or as to a living stone. He's the living stone. And while he was rejected by men, guess what he was? He was precious in the sight of God. Why? Because he's God's beloved, his one and only son, fully God and fully man for all eternity. That's who he is. Now notice what it says next, because this is startling. It says, you also, as living stones, which means you are what God is using to build what he's building on planet Earth. You are the living stones. And notice what he says about this. He says, and you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now that sounds really churchy, doesn't it? That doesn't sound very exciting. No, this is what the Bible would call the priesthood of all believers. It means this. It means that every single person who's been saved is being used of God to complete his mission on planet Earth. And Peter's using the metaphor of a spiritual building with these living stones. God has brought you into his family, and part of his blueprint and design is to use you and use us collectively for his purpose to get the message out. And while we can see it on the authority of God's word that all of us who are saved are called to that, most of us don't believe that. Most of us believe, no, that's for that special few that become pastors or teachers or go into ministry or join a parachurch organization or do something a little extra with their time when they have more spare time. But for the majority of us, we're saved, we get it, we're good people. No. Everybody's number one plan by God's design is to be part of his spiritual house called the church. You say, what? I'm a dentist. Hey, let me tell you, that's not your highest and best. That's what you do for a living. That's your missionary clothes that you wear to earn an income to do your highest and best. Your highest and best always takes place in the church. Wait, but I'm a coach. No. Coach is what you do for a living where you get paid to be a missionary in the church. Your highest and best is in the church. And when you discover your spiritual gifts and start using it, that's when you'll be full. You will never find satisfaction in a job. You will always find satisfaction in Christ and in his church, and you will discover what your highest and best is. This does not mean, because some of you are hearing me wrong, some of you think that means, oh, I got to be a pastor, I got to sing on the worship team. It does not. It means that some of you have gifts of encouragement to the body of Christ that God wants you to use. It means some of you have financial resources that God wants you to use. It means some of you have gifts of leadership in the church that God wants you to use. Everybody's gifted for the church. Your gifts were not given so that you could live off to the side and be successful. That's worldly wisdom. Your gifts were given by Christ to serve his spiritual dwelling. That's why we say as a church, we talk about abide, thrive, and multiply. Abide means to grow in Christ. It means to seek his face. It means to submit to him, to pray, to worship. God and I are growing together. We're growing together. But if I'm going to thrive in my relationship with Christ, I got to be connected to other believers in a group. I've got to be in worship on the weekends. Hey, I've got to be using my gift to serve other people. That's how I thrive. Then when I multiply other believers and show them how I do it, guess what I'm doing? I'm bringing them into the church so I can teach them how to thrive. We leave out the thrive part so much. We abide with Christ and lead people to Christ, and we tell them why we hate the church, and then we lead them to Christ, and guess what they do? They abide in Christ and they hate the church too. And then we got generations down the road with all these Christians who are saved that hate the church, and we wonder why our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. It's because there's no Christians that are thriving together, and the church is not on the forefront giving the message to the hope that's in the world, which is the righteousness of Christ. Amen? So if you want to thrive in your relationship with Christ, plug into the church. Now you say, well, Jeff, you're just saying that because you're a pastor. No, I'm saying that on the authority of God's word. And Brave is a church. It's not the church. He's like, well, I don't like your church. Well, then don't come to this one. Pick another one and go all in there. Give your best to Christ's church. You're going to give an answer for it someday. That's what he's saying. The gospel connects believers together for God's purpose. And just so we can talk about connection here, he's not just talking about the people at Brave Church. He's talking about all believers everywhere. It means when you hear about people who have been beheaded for their faith in the Middle East because they're living for Jesus, you should mourn over that. It means when you see Muslims that don't know Jesus Christ, you should mourn for that. It means when you see Hindus in India that don't know Jesus Christ, you should mourn for that. You should be coming alongside other brothers and sisters in Christ outside of our local fellowship and caring for them. And yes, I'm not even talking about overseas. I'm talking about the churches right down the street that do things different than we do. You should love them and encourage them and build them if they're centered on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what the priesthood of all believers is about. We're all on the same team. And what does the enemy always try to do? He always tries to separate us individually from other believers, even within the church. And then outside the church, what does he try to get us to do? Our church is better than your church. Look at what your church does. I mean, he separates us that way. No, we're to be united. Why? Because Jesus Christ designed by God, by the gospel, was in his blueprint, was to bring us all together for his purpose, which is discovering our highest and best to serve him and him alone and to build up other believers in Christ. Amen? That's the gospel. The gospel makes us alive. Now, here's the problem of the sacrifice of praise. I mean, it costs us something. I mean, I heard the story about the chicken and the pig on the farm that were having a discussion, and they decided they should do something for their master, and the chicken suggested, hey, let's give him a ham and eggs breakfast, to which the pig said, hey, you're just giving him an egg. For me, that's giving my life, right? We are called to be what? Living sacrifices. Your life is not your own. You are called to give it all up for Jesus. No, Pastor, that's just the pastor. No, everybody's called to give it all up for Jesus. Here's the question. Are you willing to give your entire life to Jesus Christ? Pastor Jeff, you missed the point. I've already trusted Christ. I trusted him 10 years ago. I know that I know if I die today, I go to heaven. I'd be like, great. Now that you know that you know that you go to heaven, does Christ have the entirety of your life? Are you willing to go wherever he sends? Are you willing to become whatever he becomes? Or do you live with your little appetites and desires that hinder you from being God's best, that also hurt other people in the body of Christ because you're not giving them their best, and that's who you are? Or are you willing to give him everything? And only an individual can answer that. I mean, all of you can look at me with your face and say, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. God knows your heart. And here's the litmus test of your heart. If you actually do the things he's telling you to do. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his foundation on a rock. The storms came and the winds came and he did not move because his foundation was sure. Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your life? Because here's what I know about the devil and here's what I know about Jesus. Both of them try to accelerate you and take you to high places. But the devil will always do it taking you there apart from Christ. So that when you get there, you have to cling on to that one thing that got you all the success. It's either your money, your job, your family, your career, that if you ever let go of that to be with Jesus, you'd feel like a failure. But when Jesus elevates you to the high place, he takes you there in such a way that he can take anything away and you still got Jesus and you're still as high as you ever were. Right? That's the gospel. Jesus Christ called you into fellowship with himself so that you could be used by him for his purposes. Amen? Let me tell you a second thing that the gospel blueprint clarifies. The gospel clarifies the centrality of Christ and the destiny of all people. The gospel clarifies the centrality of Christ and the destiny of all people. Now, Peter's going to quote from three places in the Old Testament. I'll give you the verses as we go. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28, 16. He says this. These sacrifices that are acceptable to Jesus Christ, for this is contained in Scripture. Here's Isaiah 28. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. He who believes in him will not be put to shame. Why? Because Jesus Christ is central to anybody knowing God. That's the whole point. Anybody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will never be disappointed. Anybody. If you've come in here this week and you say, you know what, I've kind of had a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of not, you need to go all in with Jesus. Nobody that goes all in with Jesus will ever be put to shame. Nobody that goes all in with Jesus will ever be disappointed. Jesus calls everybody to go all in with him. Why? Because he's the cornerstone. Now, if you study different scholars, they'll give you different understandings of what cornerstone means. Some people will say it's the keystone. It completes an arch. It like holds the whole arch together. And the keystone is that one place that gets put in the middle of the arch. Other people will say, no, it's like a capstone, like on a pyramid. It's the highest place. It's the unique piece. And when Christ comes back, it forms the rest of the pyramid. Some people say, no, the cornerstone is that, just like what he says, it's the cornerstone. It's the end stone on which all the apostles and prophets built their ministry. Hey, whichever way you want to go, I'm cool with it. Here's what it means. Jesus Christ is the most important stone in the building. Amen? There's no other stone that matters. Take out Jesus and the whole building falls apart. You need Jesus Christ. That's why when you come to church, you need to hear somebody opens the Bible and preaches Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ is not being heralded, there is no hope for what is being said. And some of you that come in here today and you're looking for healing in your marriage or you're looking for hope in your finances or healing in your physical bodies and you're like, what can you tell me to give me all that? I don't know what God would do with all those things, but I do know this, that if you have your faith and hope firmly rested on the bedrock of Jesus Christ, regardless of circumstances, you will never be disappointed. You will never be put to shame. Not only in this life, but also in the life to come. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. That's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world and yet forfeit his soul? Have you ever thought about that scripture? I mean, the older I get, the more and more I think about it. I mean, what if God granted you, just say, 150 years and you never age? And during that time, he said, and I'll give you all the money you ever want, and you can buy whatever you want, and you can live wherever you want, and you can do whatever you want, and every relationship you have will prosper, and everything you do will prosper, and everybody will say you're awesome for that 150 years. But you're going to do it apart from Christ, and when you die, you're going to spend eternity in a Christless place called hell. Jesus would say, what good is that? And here's the reality. Nobody's living 150 years, and nobody's going to have a perfect life, even apart from Jesus. So why not give your life to Jesus to make sure you'll never be put to shame? In Christ and in Christ alone, we have life and have life in his name. Apart from Christ, there is no life. You can be super religious. You can come to church every single weekend. You can follow the Bible, so to speak, and do good works and still not have a relationship with Christ. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's chief. He's central. He's the visible one, right? That's what Isaiah was prophesying and Peter says has been fulfilled in Jesus. Then he's going to quote Psalm 118, verse 22. He says, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, what does he say? The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the very cornerstone, right? We've already talked about this, that Jesus Christ, the very one who came to save his own people, was the very one that was rejected by his own people, which has now become the chief place, the cornerstone. And then he quotes Isaiah 8 and verse 14, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. So this rock that Jesus is, not only has the power to save and be central in a person's life, but it can also cause stumbling in those who disbelieve who he is. Why? Paul says it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 1:18. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For us, for those of us who believe, we would say, it's God's power. I wouldn't trade this for the world. But to those who don't believe, they would say, this is foolish. This is rubbish. Who could believe this stuff? But notice what he goes on to say in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. For indeed, Jews asked for a sign and Greeks searched for wisdom. Jews were looking for a sign. Jews were saying this, just give us a sign, that'll be enough. Give us a sign, that'll be enough. I mean, if we see some miracle, that'll be enough. Do you know how many signs the Jews saw? I mean, when Jesus was born, there's a star right over where he was. I mean, when Jesus did his earthly ministry, people were seeing that didn't even have eyes. I mean, people were being raised from the dead. 5,000 people were being able to eat from a sack lunch. Jesus walked on the water. I mean, what more did they want to see? Jesus healed people. Paralytics got up and walked. And what were the Jews saying? Just give us a sign. That'll be enough. It's like the people today. Just give me a sign. Just show me. If God shows up, God's showing up all over the place. God's as alive as he's ever been. Right? That's what the Jews were looking for. What were the Greeks looking for? Notice what they were looking for. Greeks searched for wisdom. What were Greeks looking for? This just needs to make sense to us because we're super smart people. I mean, I have like 5 PhDs and I'm so intelligent. I'm more smart than even the smartest person in the whole world. So just give me wisdom, okay? Really? I mean, this is the God that created the whole universe out of nothing. This is the God that created your life out of nothing. You've ever seen a child born and they come into the world? I mean, how did that get created? I mean, this is the God that gives us life and takes care of everything and makes sure you have enough moisture in your eye every 6 seconds that you blink so that you can keep seeing. I mean, God is in charge of everything. I mean, how much more wisdom do you want? And yet, what does he say about this gospel? But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. Hey, Jews, you want a sign? Here's your sign. Jesus Christ dying on a cross publicly for your sins. You want a sign? You want to see God at work? Look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? You want wisdom? Hey, look no further than the cross. That God in his infinite wisdom sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins so that you wouldn't have to live in this world anymore but could live with him forever. Wisdom and signs are found in the cross of Jesus Christ, and no matter who you are, you must come that way. But for those who say, I don't believe that, what does the cross become? It becomes a stumbling block. They stumble over the very one that came to save them. They stumble and fall. And what does 1 Peter tell us? 1 Peter tells us this, that they stumble because they're disobedient to the word. The word of God came and died, and people are disobedient to the word. They say, we don't believe that. We don't want to believe that. We don't want to submit to that. That's not good enough for us. And to this doom, they were also appointed. What does that mean? To this doom, they were also appointed. For anyone who doesn't trust Christ, here's your future appointment. Every non-believer can put this on their calendar. And every believer can put this on their calendar. Just don't put it on the date because you're going to be wrong. But here's the truth. Jesus Christ is coming back in all of his glory. For those of you as Christians, put down this on your calendar. Coming King, Messiah, Savior, and beloved rescuer. He's coming for you. Non-believer, write this down on your calendar. Judge, King, and ruler who will throw you into hell the very second he sees you. Write that down on your calendar. That's what every non-believer is appointed to. And the fact that they're appointed to it doesn't mean that God chose that for them. Everyone that goes to hell on their own volition because they never repented and trusted in Jesus Christ. Amen? The cross is a stumbling block. I even find that as Christians sometimes we can share Jesus and his love and all this stuff, but the one place we don't like to talk about the gospel is the cross and the resurrection because it's an offense to people. Without the cross and the resurrection, we have no good news. I have nothing else to tell you about today. I would close this book, walk out the door of this church and never ever come back if Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise from the dead. It's the centrality of my message. It's the centrality of our hope. It's in Christ and in Him alone. And it clarifies the centrality of Christ and the destiny of all people. Everybody's destiny will be set based upon what they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is this important? I'll tell you why. Because death is just so real. Death doesn't stop working. I got a phone call from my mom yesterday about a friend of hers that had had a heart attack and actually was on life support. And actually yesterday they took her off life support. She died. But prior to taking her off life support, her son was in the room. I hadn't talked to her son in 30 plus years. I mean, we were little kids. I mean, the last time I probably talked to him is when we were in grade school together. So I pick up the phone and I start talking to him and I can tell he's just torn up. And I can also tell that I'm not sure how strong his faith in the Lord is. And I just said, hey, can I pray for you? And just prayed this prayer for him, for his mom, for what was going on. And I got done praying. He's like, thank you. That was a really nice thing that you just did for me. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, thanks, brother, or anything. But he was devastated. I mean, he didn't know what to do. He was the one that was going to make the decision whether to leave the machine on or not. And, you know, I was just praying for his wisdom and what he needed to do. Because death is real and it's painful and it doesn't matter who it is that's going through it. It's a perversion of everything that God intended, right? And that's why we need to be careful. We need to read the entire scriptures and we need to get a picture of who this Jesus Christ is. And we really need to come to grips with that he's central in all of it. And if you take the time and study God's word, you'll see that the whole Old Testament points to Jesus and the whole New Testament points back to the fulfillment of all that he did and that he's coming again. And if you read it all, then you get a better picture. For the most of us, we just see little piecemeal things in the gospel, and that's why we never pick up on the fullness of it. I was thinking about this week when I was preparing this message. When I was in fourth grade one time, my teacher passed out a test, and here's what she said. Here's your instructions. Write your name on the top, read through all the questions first before answering, and then turn it back in. That's what we were taught. So I put my name on the top of the paper. I read question number one, and I answered it. And I read question number two, and I answered it. I read question number three, and I answered it, at which time two or three people got up and started turning their tests in. And I'm like, wow, they're pretty fast. And I read question four and answered it. Pretty soon, more and more people were turning them in. By the time I got to question 20, most of the people had turned their tests in, and I read question 20, which said, please don't answer any of the questions, just turn your test in. And my teacher had said, read all the questions before answering. Now, being the attorney that I am, I said, I read the questions before I answered, so I was arguing. But the point is, there'll be no arguing with Jesus. He's made it crystal clear that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gave a sign in all of his wisdom, dying on the cross for your sins and rising from the dead. And just because you're at Brave Church today, either in Broomfield or Inglewood, does not mean you're a believer. It means right where you're at, you can admit the fact that you're dead in your sins and you can believe that Jesus died and rose for you and you can confess him to be your Lord and Savior right here now as you sit and your eternal destiny will change. Amen? That's who we are in Christ. It clarifies the centrality of Christ and the destiny of all people.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub and the second part of a three-part message all about purpose titled Gospel Blueprint. If you didn't catch the first part of this lesson or you'd like to hear more Bible-based lessons from Pastor Jeff, visit us at bravemedia.online. And to help keep you connected with all things Brave, no matter what your schedule looks like, we invite you to download the Brave Church app. You can do that by going to your favorite app store and searching for Brave Church Denver. The app gives you access to great tools like Pastor Jeff's sermon notes, prayer request forms, small group information, and more. Download the app to your mobile device today and be part of the Brave community wherever you are. Now, we all know that life is filled with big questions and tough decisions, and each new season brings new challenges. So no matter what season of life you're in, stick with us throughout the week as Pastor Jeff explains how to navigate the inevitable hardships of life. And if you're listening from anywhere in the Denver area, we invite you to join us for weekend services this Sunday at Brave Church. Attend in person at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. If you're listening from outside of Denver, you can still join us through our live stream. For details and directions, head to bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom of our homepage, and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you'd like to share a question, a comment, or maybe a prayer request with Pastor Jeff, email us, hello@bravechurch.co. We really do appreciate hearing from you. And if you've never reached out before, do it today. You can also send a letter in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm Bill Carl. We're so glad to have you with us. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Jeff concludes his message regarding purpose, titled Gospel Blueprint. That's coming up tomorrow, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.